Take This Seriously Media presents the Uncommon Truth Podcast, where what you do know by common knowledge can hurt you. We live in a world where a serious, intentional intellect leading the masses astray counts on you to follow along. Get the tools to equip yourself with the uncommon truth you need to not be taken by this intellect. Are you ready to take this seriously? This is episode 2 of our Journey podcast series entitled Slave No More. In this episode, we investigate the after effects of slavery in America. Can the long-standing blemish of slavery on American soil ever be washed away and forgotten? Are there problems exhibited in the people of our society today that surface as a direct residual effect of slavery in America? Let's dive in and take this issue head on. This podcast was sponsored by Tyvee B. Creations. Tyvette Brown is the creator of a wide array of exquisite handmade jewelry pieces. Please be sure to visit her website and check out the button bar at tyveeb.com. This content is rated serious. The purpose of this podcast is to equip you with the tools to not be taken advantage of by those who understand the power of information but don't necessarily have our best interests. Please be sure to visit our website, TakeThisSeriouslyMedia.com, for free resources to further equip you with the uncommon truth you need.
The uncommon truth.
American slavery is a distant memory. Since the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, slavery in the United States has been banned. In fact, slavery is a taboo subject, especially in today's racially and politically charged climate. The so-called slave masters of the South from the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries are generally held as deplorable and despicable, and it's inconceivable that men owning other men as property was ever commonplace way back when. However, even though the average citizen shuns the idea of slavery, this is by no means a pass for the fact that it happened. Shunning the idea of slavery today is still marred by the reality that it was a long-standing practice in U.S. history. Slavery is the one blemish on our country's record that cannot be explained away. In our education system, we are encouraged from youth to commemorate the fact that valiant men had the fortitude to escape bondage from Europe and pursue freedom, forming their own collective, more perfect union by framing the country of the New World. We are encouraged to take pride in the beloved parchment called the Constitution of the United States of America, written by those same valiant men, and esteem this country as being founded on the principles of freedom and bravery. However, this cannot help but be met with the reality that those same brave and valiant free men had oppressed others themselves. We have to swallow the ugly truth that in fighting to escape oppression from bondage, those same men freely and without apology benefited from oppressing others through slavery. It's a little known fact that the Star Spangled Banner itself concedes rather than opposes slavery. Within its third stanza, our beloved national anthem literally admits openly that the cost of war mandated the shed blood of the slaves of this country so that its free men could lift up that star-spangled banner in victory and enjoy their freedom in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Think about that. Every time you experience listening to the depth of expression and passion from the singers of that song, moments before a game of the NBA playoffs or of the NFL season, where the performers who contribute the most in terms of game entertainment are predominantly descendants of slaves, You now have the burden of knowing that it's on their backs that free men get to be entertained, enjoying the benefits of their freedom through sports entertainment. Our nation's president's high-profile chastisement of Kaepernick's taking a knee during the singing of that song, a song that would concede his slavery, is even more glaring. The unfortunate truth is, mental conditioning in terms of behavioral norms is interwoven into American society, especially in the mainstream, promoting and perpetuating slave-mindedness in individuals. So although slavery does not actually exist today in America, one could make the argument that it has resurfaced in a different form. If you're new to this podcast, I encourage you to listen to Four Brown Pennies, which is the first episode, an introduction into this podcast series, affectionately entitled Journey. Four Brown Pennies identifies systems that are in place and in full effect as we speak to actively motivate the mental subjugation of one particular group of people within the country. Slavery as a direct practice has been replaced with the equally effective indirect practice of producing slave-minded individuals. My friends, slave mentality is real. It is not an apparition. It's not just a cliche or buzzword. God created all things, but the only thing God never created in life is coincidence. It's not a coincidence that slave mentality exists in a large percentage of the population. So if perhaps you have pictured already someone in your mind who exhibits traits of slave mentality, please keep that in mind.
The uncommon truth.
What exactly is slave mentality? Slave mentality, or as I call it, slave master syndrome, may be a difficult concept to fully grasp and define. Perhaps the best way to define it is to reverse engineer the term slave mentality. So let's look at the mentality of actual slaves. There are three basic subject matters that distinguish slaves from other individuals, which are rights and privileges, wealth, and purpose. Number one, let's look at the rights and privileges of the slave. Slaves had no rights, nor did they have any privileges except those privileges granted to them by their illustrious slave master, who perhaps used privileges as a means to keep their slaves pacified and docile. Because slaves were considered to be the slave master's property, they had just as much claim to rights and privileges as a pet dog has claim to rights and privileges. Accordingly, there were no laws granting slaves the right to appear before a judge and be afforded a hearing in the pursuit of justice on their behalf. Therefore, there was no expectation that slaves should receive any fair treatment by the authorities in the criminal justice system. So we can use this trait to help us gauge what slave mentality actually is. If an individual has slave mentality, he or she is probably going to show a deficiency in his or her own sense of self-worth. That is, the feeling of being worthy of inherent rights and privileges as a human being. The person with low self-worth has no reason to even entertain the idea that he or she can contribute anything to society. In fact, he or she is likely to embrace victim mentality, or fall into depression and self-destructive behaviors, or perhaps isolate themselves from others entirely. It's the slave who seems to always have their hand out and can never seem to pay forward what others have paid to them in terms of benevolence. It's the slave who, despite numerous efforts by loved ones to motivate change and inspire breakthrough, continue to spiral deeper and deeper into destructive habits. It's the slave who cuts himself or herself off from others, feeling as though proximity alone can cause them to have a negative effect on their loved ones. By now, you have probably thought of someone exhibiting these traits. But let me challenge you with this. Ask yourself whether or not it is the first inclination of an average middle-class citizen to shun, criticize, or even scold the homeless for bringing it upon themselves, especially those exhibiting behaviors like alcoholism or substance abuse. Ask yourself if it is a fact that our criminal justice system is geared more towards hardening and deepening destructive mindsets in individuals rather than rehabilitating them. Ask yourself if it is a fact that our society, through media, pushes the image of the perfect physique and perfect health, while at the same time making the availability of healthy and wholesome foods exorbitantly and even prohibitively more expensive than comparable unhealthy and unwholesome foods. Do double standards in our society tend to reinforce low self-worth in individuals? Do you have the capacity to empathize with people exhibiting slave mentality through low self-worth? Do you believe there's more to slave mentality manifesting itself in individuals than mere happenstance?
The uncommon truth.
Number two, now let's consider the wealth of a slave. Obviously, slaves had no wealth. All the wealth in the environment of a slave was owned solely by the slave master. And since the master owned the slave, then rationally, the master owned all the labor of the slave and subsequently any revenue or proceeds resulting from that labor. It was just as if the master had performed all the labor of the slave himself. So to the slave, wealth was off limits. His lot in life is labor, not the attainment of wealth. So using this trait, we can gauge that an individual with slave mentality functions in life devoid of any sense of wealth. He or she believes in the ideology that there are haves and there are have-nots, and unfortunately, he or she ended up on the wrong end of that equation. It's difficult to impossible for a person with slave mentality to grasp the perspective that the practice of establishing and building one's own wealth and enrichment in life is actually a normal thing to do. Think about it this way. If I drew a stick figure on a piece of paper and that stick figure came to life, then I would be its master. That stick figure's entire life existence is the piece of paper I provided for it. The point is, the slave master provides room, board, materials, and everything that the slave needs to be a slave. The slave has his lot in life provided by the master, and he needs to look no further. Similarly, a person with slave master syndrome has grown comfortable with the little that he or she has and is not interested in venturing beyond that comfort zone. Anything beyond what's familiar to them is firmly seated in the realm of the unknown and therefore off limits. It's probably not difficult to picture someone in mind stuck under the duress of a dead-end job or stuck living in run-down, dilapidated housing with neither the motivation nor interest to obtain anything else. It's probably not difficult to think of someone living on the streets who you've detected has the real potential to do more with their life than beg for a living. But let me challenge you with this. Ask yourself if there are real socioeconomic barriers that constrain entire communities of people to live in the lifelong state of poverty and substandard living. Ask yourself if the minimum wage is set to be enough to be sufficient for one's basic needs, food, shelter, and security, or is it rather just enough to keep people living in poverty? Ask yourself if the programs paid for by our taxpayer dollars actively seek out the homeless and follow through in transforming them into contributing citizens of society. Do you believe there's more to slave mentality manifesting itself in individuals than mere happenstance?
The uncommon truth.
And number three, let's consider purpose with regard to a slave. It is a fact that purpose emerges from identity. For example, a hammer's purpose is identified by its identifying traits. A hammer is better suited for banging nails rather than serving as a paperweight or wall ornament. However, it's possible for a hammer to go through its entire existence without ever banging a single nail at all. That is, it's possible for a hammer to settle for being unfulfilled in its existence as a hammer. So an ugly truth behind a person's slavery is the loss of their identity, which translates to the mandated elimination of anything that serves as distinctly identifying what their God-given purpose is. Remember, slaves are the property of their slave masters. Accordingly, their original names were removed and replaced with the surname of the master. So any sense of uniqueness characterized by distinctive traits of identity is cast aside. Any purpose that those unique and distinctive traits are supposed to fulfill is left abandoned. Slaves adopt the identity of their slave masters and end up fulfilling their slave master's desired purpose opposed to their own. But here's the thing. The slave is happiest when his master is happy. The slave feels fulfilled when his master's desired purpose is achieved, rather than having any sense of what his own purpose is, much less fulfilling it. So it follows that an individual with slave master syndrome has no distinctiveness in identity. They have become just another cog in the machine of the slave master, meaning their identity more than likely comes from their job or what they do in someone else's organization. It's their job that gives them significance and credibility rather than their God-given purpose. Does anyone come to mind who has the real potential for distinction but is totally defined by their job? Let me challenge you with this. Ask yourself if it is a coincidence that our education system is geared towards creating employees rather than business owners. Ask yourself if it is a coincidence that our society gives the best monetary reward to those who excel in entertainment industries rather than those who actually fulfill their God-given purpose. Do you believe there's more to slave mentality manifesting itself in individuals than mere happenstance?
The uncommon truth.
So what's the answer? The truth is, slave mentality is a choice. It would be a mistake to blame slave mentality on society. But society does perpetuate slave mentality, making it difficult for people to come out of it. What's needed is a strategy to fix what's broken in our society, and the best strategy is accountability. Whether you've isolated yourself from society or not, whether you're allowing society to influence your behaviors or not, and whether you feel as though you can contribute to your society or not, you are indeed a part of your society, and by the same token, you can't help the fact that you contribute to it one way or the other. Your presence is fundamental to its very existence to begin with, so your role of accountability in society is also fundamental. Think about accountability this way. An employee of a company expects a paycheck every pay period, so it would be in the best interest of the employee to contribute as best he can into the company's well-being. The only way for the company to procure a paycheck for that employee is to make sure their monetary account, i.e. accounts payable, is in the positive. This is what it means for an employee to maintain accountability, help the overall company to maintain a positive account balance. From the perspective of functioning in society, only when we are accountable to our society should we expect to benefit from it. It may not be difficult to find slave mentality traits in others, but now it's time to look in the mirror. Can you perhaps identify any personality traits in yourself that possibly stem from slave mentality? Do you feel free to pursue the fulfillment of your purpose, or do you see your purpose only as fulfilling others' aspirations? Does your purpose define you, or does your employer's job define you? Do you believe there is wealth and enrichment designated for you to take part in within the wealth ecosystem? Or do you believe your only chance for wealth is hitting the lottery? Do you believe you are entitled to the same privileges and rights others are entitled to? Or are you stuck in the rut and duress of low self-esteem and low self-worth, medicating it with substance abuse and destructive behaviors? Remember, a slave has no sense of accountability because he doesn't count in society. To a slave master, a slave is as expendable as a pawn on a chessboard is expendable. And people with slave master syndrome see themselves the same way. But God created you to command real value. Take that value seriously by maintaining accountability to your society and being an effective contributor to it. And after you are strengthened, strengthen your brother. I'll close this podcast episode with a call to action. The following is a reading of a piece written by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure about you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
The Uncommon Truth.
Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Truth podcast from our friends at Take This Seriously Media. Please be sure to visit our website, takethisseriouslymedia.com, for free resources to expand your Uncommon Truth toolkit.